Welcome to the AquariumMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 16, recorded August 31st, 2009.
Hello!
Greetings, everyone.
Today, we are talking about...
convict cichlids.
Okay, why do we want to keep convict cichlids? What are they for?
Well, they're a great introduction to cichlid behavior. One of the great attractions of cichlids is that they have complex and interesting behavior, specifically relating to their reproduction, how they exhibit parental care and so on. So if you want to observe this parental care in a fairly easy and durable fish, then the convict cichlid is a great choice, because they're probably the easiest, or certainly among the easiest, of cichlids to breed.
Okay, so this season, I mean, they're good for a food source, but they're also good just for their own selves to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, people do raise them if they want a fairly easy source of small feeder fish. People use the fry for that. But they're just also interesting to keep as pets and observe their behavior.
And what kind of fish eat them if you want to raise them for feeders?
Well, any piscivore, any fish eater. If you have leaf fish, for example, or things like gar or halfbeaks or pike live bears, or, you know, things really, things that require fish, most people agree that it's probably easier and better in most ways to feed fish that can eat pellets, to feed them pellets in general most of the time, but certain fish cannot survive on a diet of pellets. So if you have fish like that, then this is a good way to go.
So could you use these if you had turtles, like redded sliders? Could you use these for feeders too, or are they?
Yeah, well, reptiles that eat fish could eat them too. They range in size, you know, from very small when they're first independent of their parents. They're very, very small. They're probably about a third of an inch or so to a half an inch, and they go up and they get quite large. They can get probably 6 inches long, or maybe more.
Oh, wow.
Maybe more.
So that's quite a range.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of setup do they need?
Well, you probably don't want to start out with anything smaller than 20 gallons.
For how many fish?
For a pair.
Okay. For a breeding pair.
For a breeding pair, right. Certainly a larger tank would be better. 30 gallons or 50 gallons even would be ideal, but 20 gallons is probably the minimum. Footprint of the tank is more important than, you know, gallonage. So a 20-gallon long is better than a 20-gallon high, because there's more utilizable space on the bottom. You know, square inches on the bottom is more important.
Is the bottom where they hang out, or is that where they lay their eggs?
Well, both. They tend to use the bottom half of the tank a lot more often than the surface. They will go to the surface, but the bottom half of the tank is where they tend to hang out, and they do tend to spawn near the bottom.
Okay.
So, yeah, you want a 20-gallon tank. You can choose whether you want gravel or not. As far as plants go, your choices are fairly limited, because they tend to be fairly aggressive towards plants. So plastic plants might be a better bet.
Are they herbivorous?
They're not really herbivorous. They're more omnivorous. Okay. But they will rip apart a lot of plants, whether or not they want to eat them. They will eat some of them, but they'll rip apart others that they won't eat. Anubias might be okay, but, you know, gotta watch it. So you might want to be a little spare on the plants, or use plastic plants, as far as that goes.
Okay. About filters?
Filters, well, just about anything that works.
Just normal. They don't need, like, crazy high filter, like goldfish or anything. They're just normal.
Well, cichlids are, you know, they contribute a little bit more to the bio load than some species. So some good filtration is necessary. They eat kind of heavily and usually kind of messily. So you want some good filtration. It should be adequate, but that's not hard to do. Just get a hang-on-the-back power filter that's rated for about the gallonage that you have, and should be fine. Just about any type of hang-on-the-back filter is adequate. Sponge filters work okay if you regularly squeeze them out in clean, dechlorinated water, or tank water, preferably, to get some of the ash content that settles in that sediment and get that out. That works okay, too.
Okay. How are they aggression-wise with other fish?
Well, actually, before we talk about that, we probably ought to talk about the heating and lighting and so on. Yeah, the lighting, not really that critical. You could they could get by with ambient room light and be just fine, but for viewing, you'll want something. And since you're not really trying to grow a whole lot of plants in that tank, just normal light that comes with the tank, a strip bulb on a 20-gallon long, one strip bulb is adequate. Should be fine. Heating, you'll need a good heater and one that can potentially weather a bit of banging around, because they might bang around some heaters. So probably one with a plastic housing or a guard on it, or a titanium heater, something like that is probably best, just to be safe. You don't want to get a really fragile glass heater that's going to get broken. I've seen heaters being broken by large cichlids. Not that convict cichlids are all that huge, but they can be, pretty creative. So you'll have to watch for that. And the temperature, if you're going to breed them, you probably want them around 78 or 80 degrees. That seems to get them to start to spawn.
Okay. Anything else as far as setup goes?
That's probably about it for now.
Okay. So tell us about aggression in tank mates.
Okay. Well, they are cichlids, and when they're spawning, most cichlids tend to get fairly aggressive and protective of their spawning area. So if you have them in a small tank, you probably don't want to keep any other fish with them, because they'll probably kill them, or at least beat them up or fight them. And so, not a good idea to try to keep smaller, more defenseless fish with them. If you have a very large community tank with a couple of convict cichlids in there, they'll be fine with other large fish that are big enough so that they won't eat them. They're usually okay. But when they're spawning, if it's in a very large tank, they'll probably keep all the other fish out of an area that they've staked out. And if it's in a smaller tank, just don't try to keep anything with them. And other large cichlids like Oscars or big fish like tinfoil barbs or something in a large tank would be okay. If you to get a pair though, as far as tank mates are concerned, one of the common methods to get a pair is to buy 6, 8, 10, something like that, young fish, put them together and have them grow up together and pair off naturally. There are some advantages to that. It usually works pretty well, but then you have to find a home for all those other fish that didn't pair off. And you'll notice that when they do pair off, the other fish will terrorize the remaining fish in the tank and usually crowd them into a corner, and then you know which ones you need to net out, but you're going to have to find a place to put them. And a lot of pet stores won't necessarily take convict cichlids very willingly, and if they do, not for credit or money usually. So just be prepared to deal with that. That said, convict cichlids are usually not terribly particular about mates, so if you find a male and a female, you're probably okay. They
How do you
probably will
tell
breed.
male from female?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One is that the female tends to have some kind of orangish to red scales in the ventral area, up through somewhere between the area that's under the pectoral fins in the front, back towards the ventral fins, a little bit higher than that. So you'll see some orange or red speckles or spots or even a big patch, depending on how young the fish is, and there's some genetic variability there and just various situations. But you'll find that area on a female, and males tend to have little or no red in that area. So
Okay.
that's one way. If they're the black and gray sort of striped convict cichlids, then you'll see that red area kind of blending in a little bit to the body. But if you get a pink convict, which are basically sort of an off-white to whitish color, then it's really obvious. And my first female was a white or a pink convict, as they call them, and my male was the normal black and gray striped. And that works. They're both the same species, it's just a color variety, so they will interbreed without any problems. So there's that patch of reddish color, and then the males tend to have more elongated areas on their dorsal and anal fins. They come to a point at the end that's closer to the tail, and the females tend to be a little more rounded than that.
All right.
And the males' fins tend to be longer in general as well. That's about all you need to tell them apart. Another good way to get a pair is to just go into the store, watch the fish for about 5 minutes, and you can usually see two fish that have paired off, because the breeding instinct in convict cichlids is really strong. So they're often spawning in a tank in the pet store. It's very common to see.
Okay. Well, I guess that's how to tell the males from the female. Any tips for us on choosing the convicts in general, getting one in good health?
Well, they are tough fish. They tend to be doing pretty well, but of course, you don't want to find one that's got its fins chewed up. You don't want one that has any obvious spots or bloating or raised scales or big patches of missing scales. It's possible to, you know, get a fish that's been beaten up and have it survive and even thrive eventually, but it's easier to start out with healthy fish. And one, if there's a spawning pair in the tank, that's likely to be the dominant pair in the tank and probably among the healthiest. So that will help.
Okay. Now you mentioned they're omnivorous.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feed them?
Well, you can feed them just about anything that's, you know, good for fish. They're fine. They'll do fine on any pelleted staple tropical fish diet. They'll do fine on flakes too. Of course, they'll appreciate live or frozen food, freeze-dried food, anything.
Like what kind of live? Like worms or brine shrimp or
anything that's big enough to be interesting and small enough that they can fit it in their mouths. They're quite cosmopolitan in their taste. They'll eat just about anything.
Would they want vegetable matter in the tank, like peas or?
Yeah, they'd eat some vegetable matter like that, some soft vegetable matter, peas, thawed peas that are popped out of the shell, anything like that. They would certainly eat
lettuce.
They might eat a little lettuce too. Yeah.
I suppose if you had clippings of your plants from your other aquariums, you could throw a little bit of that into.
Probably could. Yep, they'd probably eat that, and they definitely like to go after moving things. They really like that, but they're not particular. They'll eat just about anything, like I said.
Okay. Now, the most interesting part with the convict cichlids, as you've mentioned, is watching the parental behavior. So tell us about that whole process.
Okay. Well, that's pretty fun. If you want to breed them, which is probably the reason why you're getting convict cichlids to start with, you'll want to put some sort of cave in the tank. Nice terracotta flower pot with a hole in the bottom, so it's kind of a tunnel instead of a pot, is a good way to do it. I found one of the easiest ways to make one of those without causing a huge problem and, you know, breaking the pot to smithereens and frustrating yourself for having spent 69 cents on a pot that is now sand, is to soak the pot in water, tap water, whatever, for, you know, a few hours, maybe overnight. And then get some needle nose pliers and work outward from the little hole that's in the bottom for draining the pot, and just grab a little bit with the needle nose pliers and pinch it and pull it off, kind of twist and pull it off, and you just go around in a circle like that. It takes a while. You can't do it in, you know, 2 minutes. It might take you 5 or 10 minutes to do it, but you just do that until there's a sizable hole in the bottom that the female cichlid could go in and out of, and probably the male too, or just take the whole bottom off and put that in the tank. You might want to do one or two of those. You want the pot to be big enough so that the fish can maneuver around in it, but it's still maybe a little bit snug, so it feels kind of protective to it. You know, try to arrange it to the size of your fish. Now, that varies quite a bit because convict cichlids have... It's probably a result of captivity, but they have often been known to spawn at very, very small sizes. A body size, a female an inch long can easily start spawning.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy, but it's true. And probably even smaller. And the males might be a little bit bigger than that, but not much. So they'll start spawning when they're pretty small. And like I said, they can get over 6 inches. I've seen some around that big, and I wouldn't be surprised if they get bigger. So try to make the pot size approximately fit them. And like I said, put one or two on different sides of the tank if you want, so that they can choose one, and just set it on the bottom. And they will typically find that and begin to show interest in it. The female and male will start to change color. If they're the striped convict, the one with the colors, they will tend to, the dark colors will get darker, the light colors will get lighter, so it's almost a black and white stripe, which is where they get their names from, the customary black and white striped costumes of convicts. And so they'll get kind of brighter that way. And you'll see them displaying, spreading their fins for each other, moving back and forth around the pot, the female and male going into the pot, showing interest in it. And pretty soon you'll see eggs. And I've actually seen them in the act of spawning a few times, where the female comes and she deposits a few eggs along the surface of the pot, and then the male comes along and fertilizes them, and they kind of rub up against there, and they'll repeat that action several times until you have a lot of eggs, depending on the size of the female and, you know, how young the female is and whether or not they've spawned before. I think the first time the female spawned, I only had maybe 10 or 20 eggs, and maybe, you know, even less as far as fry goes that actually hatched. And that first batch was eaten. It's not uncommon for cichlids, when they first spawn, to fail. They'll lay the eggs, but then they'll eat the eggs before they hatch. Or they will try to take care of the fry for a few days, and then as soon as they become free-swimming, they'll eat them. Something like that. Not uncommon for cichlids.
They have
to
learn how to be parents.
Yeah, they appear to learn from each experience, and after, depending on this, you know, sometimes they'll raise a batch, first batch successfully, but it took, I think it was the second batch before my first convict cichlids was successfully raised fry. And that's not uncommon, so don't give up hope if it doesn't work the first time. Give it a few times before you give up completely. And that's about all you need to do as far as getting them to spawn, is make sure they have the right temperature, they have a tank, you have a male and a female, and you have a pod in there, and they'll spawn. They will even spawn without a pod.
After they spawn and the babies
hatch,
mm-hmm. What do you need to do? What do they do? What do we need to do?
Well, the male and female will take care of them. When they lay the eggs, they're attached to the substrate, wherever they're laying it, whether it's in the pot or they just choose to put it on glass or something. And after a few days, the babies will hatch and they'll drop. And they're at that state, they're called wigglers, because they're basically a long tail attached to a huge yolk sac that they just whip back and forth while they absorb the yolk sac. And the parents will often move those, so a lot of people have spawned them and then found out that they're gone from the original spot, and they think, oh no, they ate them, they're gone, they're dead, and then only to find that they've moved them back behind a plant or something. And then they'll often move them several times while they're raising them, especially while they're not free swimming yet and they're in that wiggler stage. And then, soon after that, the fry, maybe in a few days, the fry will become free swimming, and the parents will be surrounded by this little cloud of fry. And the fry will look around for food. They'll return to the parents when they're scared. The parents will signal the fry to move around and follow them and so on, and it's really fun to watch. So they take care of them. A lot of times, one of the parents will patrol the perimeter of the area to make sure it's safe from predators, and the babies will stay with the other parent and so on. If a baby is in a place they don't want it, they'll pick it up in their mouth and move it and so on. So it's kind of fun to watch. You do need to feed the fry. They either need really small, finely powdered food, or liquid fry food, or something like that.
Egg yolk, boiled egg yolk.
A little teeny bit of boiled egg yolk that's kind of made into a liquid with suspended in water and put in there. They'll eat that. I usually just go with microworms. They grow on microworms just fine until they're big enough to take some powdered fish food, and then I'll just use that like flake and give them that in addition to the microworms until they're big enough not to be interested in microworms anymore, and then by that time they're fine with flake and any kind of live food that I want to put in there.
Okay.
And that's about it, I think. I would say, with as far as troubleshooting goes, you know, we pretty much already talked about the things that you need to worry about. If you do sometimes get some aggression between the male and the female, and if that's the case, it's sometimes a good idea to put them next to another aquarium that they can see other fish in, so that they can be irritated and challenged by these other fish, and then they'll tend to protect their nest better. In a larger tank, you can use dither fish to take their, or target fish. I mean to say dither fish are different. Target fish that take their attention away from beating on each other, so that they'll start to chase these other fish away. But if it's in a large tank, then they won't come to any harm. But don't try that in a 20-gallon tank. You just have dead target fish. And Those are a couple things you can do if they're aggressive to each other. If all else fails, you can try switching out another one. If the male is aggressive, try a new female. If the female is aggressive, try a new male. You can try that. And the last thing is, make sure that you know what you're going to do with the fry, because it might be hard to find a place. I have usually been lucky enough to find a pet store that will take them, but they usually won't give you anything for them, but they will take them, and then, you know, somebody else can get some really cheap cichlids and try it out. So it is fun. If you want to see the parental instincts of cichlids at work, it's probably the easiest way to do it. So enjoy.
Have fun.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.